Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
With John Nemitz.
and David Lauer.
and this is a show where we talk about things that we love. It's very vulnerable to do that, and we also talk about things we hate, which is easier, I almost want to say, because it lets us get things off our chest. And then our third topic is somewhere in the middle. We could feel ambivalent, we could love slash hate it, we're on the fence, or we're just indifferent, but there's something in the middle there. We also have mystery topics, but they're in the same category as those three. We just don't know until the big reveal. But before we do any of that fun stuff, we talk about old topics. And it's a segment we call the Daisha Fuse. Go ahead, somebody.
It's me. And this might be very inappropriate to bring up about Vince, so maybe we'll cut this. But in an early episode, I just heard it in the best ofs that we just re-released. Check that out on the feed, everyone, if you want to hear some classic stuff. But Vince, you had talked about your deadly dick and how you've had exes who have died. And there's a TV show that I just heard about that's like the exact concept, is that this woman is finding that all of her ex-boyfriends that she had sex with are dying in the order that she slept with them.
Well,
It's called Laid. I have
I thought
not
it was
watched
gonna
the
be
show.
Black Widow.
Yeah, that would be more appropriate, but I just thought that was crazy when I heard the premise of that show.
Why didn't I write that? Oh, because it's painful.
Exactly.
Really, like I probably could have written something to go with that, because I have plenty to say. It's shitty though. Wow. Okay. Do you know if it's supernatural or not?
No, I don't know the cause, but I mean, I guess it. Oh, you mean like if she gives him a disease or something? And they died later. No, it seems like supernatural. Like, from the little bit I heard of it, like maybe like Final Destination style, or just death is coming for him one way or another. I don't know. But I think it's based on an Australian show originally, and now there's like an American version.
There's kind of the opposite idea with Good Luck Chuck. It was like a movie with Dane Cook where he's like any girl he banged, the next person she banged, they would fall in love and be married and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, he never has a long-term thing, but whoever they get with next.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I think, didn't we have a friend, Vince? I think his name might be James, where every, like, a girl would date him, and then after they'd break up, the girl would always, like, be lesbian and get with a girl. It happened to him on a couple occasions, I know.
And that's enough to be like, you're partially cursed or whatever.
Yeah, it's like once they've had James, they're like, yeah, men are not for me.
I want to laugh at that, and I did, but like, there was a girl, an ex who got with a girl, not after me. It was like she dated a dude, and then, yeah, but I was wondering, like, what have I done? Do I do this? But no. Maybe I loosened the jar, right? I don't know. But she's back with men, so I don't know if that even counts either. Yeah.
I mean, bisexualism does exist.
Not when I do
Like, you don't
it.
have to pick one or the other.
Yeah, it's like when people go to a restaurant, they don't always order the same item off the menu. Sometimes you'll kind of shop around.
With their genitals. All right. I'll have the 69. All
Nice.
right, should we get the show started? I really have no idea how to feel about that Deja Fuse time.
Yeah, Hey, I
Okay.
called my shot.
All right. Let's. Dave, you got to start, dude.
Let's go with my love. I love Comedy Central roasts. The celebrity roasts, like at first, I guess when I've like they've been around for like 20 to 25 years, like the comedy, like roasting has been around for a very long time. I'm not gonna really get into the history of it because I haven't seen the old ones. I just know about the Comedy Central roasts. I used to not like them, and I just thought they were like crude humor and like a bunch of like over the top, like redundant jokes. And some of the roasts do suffer from that, where they're ripping on someone and everybody just has like the same joke, like over and over, and everyone's just repackaging the same joke. And so some of them do suffer from that, but I freaking love them for whatever reason. Maybe it's just like I've been desensitized to them, where I'm no longer like offended by like over the top gross humor. But I kind of like them now, and I think they're funny and fun, and there's a bunch of them on Netflix, so they're like easy to watch. And I think the comedy roasts, I think, are great because there's a lot of stand-up comedians that are funny. And the great thing is if you like go and watch one stand-up comedian, there might be that stand-up comedian in like an opener or maybe two openers. But with the roast, it's like the best of. You get all these different comedians, and not only do you see all these comedians, but they go up there and they do like 20 minutes of jokes, and they edit them down to like their best 4 minutes or 5 minutes. So like you just get the best jokes they had that got the best reaction from the crowd. And then, you know, they edit it all together, and it's like they trim a lot of the fat from it. So like I think if you watched it live, it might be like kind of long and tedious, but like the edited version that we get on TV that's only an hour long is great. Like it's one of my complaints is like the people that they're roasting, where it's like we're having a roast of like Dennis Leary or William Shatner or Joan Rivers. Like that person, it's usually not very good. They did one of Tom Brady, which was unconventional just because he's a football player. So I actually really enjoyed that one because it was not just like a weird like B-list celebrity. And because that's one of the issues with them. But I really like the roasts. There's like lots of like returning comedians that do them. Like Jeff Ross is always there. And I don't particularly like Jeff Ross, but he's kind of perfect for roasts. Like this is like the role he was born to play. And then there's guys like Patton Oswalt is great. Greg Giraldo, rest in peace. Like he was amazing back in the day. He was one of my favorites. Patrice O'Neill, he's also passed. He was amazing. But there's like newer comedians, like Anthony Jeselnik,
Yeah.
who's a very edgy comedian, who's very funny. And then Nikki Glaser is freaking hilarious. She was even on like Fox NFL Sunday, where she would go on and they would have like a panel of like five NFL announcers or commentators, and she would roast all five of them to their faces. And these are all like full grown like men just getting roasted by this blonde lady. And a lot of them didn't know how to handle it. And it was just the funniest thing ever because she would like roast them to the core, where like pick at like their ultimate like perceived insecurities and just tear their heart out. And they're just like, it was just like they've never been like talked to that way by a person. So it was so much fun to watch. What do you guys think of the Comedy Central roasts?
I like that they all go after each other too. Like it's not always just roasting the roastie, but like they're just jabbing each other, talking shit about the previous set. You know, like I think that stuff is great. I haven't watched any recently, but I used to watch them when they'd come on Comedy Central and stuff, and I actually kind of miss watching them now that you mentioned it. I heard the Tom Brady one was really good. also. There's one quote that when I go on my camping trip that one of the guys always brings up, where I think it was Jeff Ross said that he wouldn't fuck Sandra Bernhard with B. Arthur's dick. And just someone always says that like out of context all the time, and it's always really dumb and funny.
I like the videos of the old school roasts where you had like fucking what's his name? Frank Sinatra and like all the what were they from the 50s or something? Like those crooners, old Hollywood, just drinking, but they all seem like friends. With these new ones, it's just like it seems very random. Like they had some right-wing Republican lady up there, and she completely bombed. Like it was so cringe to watch. I hated it. I'm like, oh my God, this is so horrible,
Is
you
she,
know?
that's the lady with the big nose.
Sure, blonde. Yeah.
She looks like
Oh, here comes the
Fester,
roast.
not Fester, Lurch. She looks like Lurch from the Addams Family. I'm sure somebody mentioned that.
Oh man. So then you have these odd people that are like, are you even funny? And sometimes they are not. You know, like you get Snoop Dogg up there, he's like, so high, man. You're like, that's not a roast. Like, that's a fact. Like, what the fuck is this? I wrote down. Okay, so I watched a little bit of Pamela Anderson, and I just remember this, that they ripped onto Andy Dick way more, and he was just like one of the dudes, and he was getting so pissed off by the end of it because like they gave him all the worst shit. With Pamela Anderson, they were just like, you sure like big dicks, don't you, Tommy? And like the whole time, Tommy's just like getting thrown roses and flowers of compliments for having a big
Yeah,
dick. You know, it
I
was the
remember
oddest thing.
watching that one back in the day, and like their roast of Pamela was like, "Oh, you're so beautiful." You must poop yogurt or something. I don't remember. Like,
And then
I
fucking
remember
Courtney Love.
Andy Dick getting so pissed off. And it was like, I just remember thinking, like, Andy Dick, he's not even like good enough or famous enough to be worthy of all of this. Like, he's not even worthy of getting this much shit talk.
Holy shit, Andy Dick, he went solo after the Ben Stiller show. That's got to count, right?
After news radio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyways, what else happened? I don't know. I think these are good, particularly roasts. That's where you're like, if you want to hear some dark humor, you want to hear some, what would it be called? Off-color humor. I don't know. Blue. That's a color, though. But. that's where you go to hear this stuff. So I think it's fine. It's like, I might not agree with everything that they're saying, but if you're clever enough, yeah, I'll accept it. Jeff Ross's show Roast Battle, I was gonna have as a love. Like that's on the list because like it's just them doing that back and forth and there's a contest. It's so fucking awesome. Yeah, all of a sudden Jeff Ross just became like the roast maestro or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
Roast
he's like
Master General.
the poor man's Dave Attell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I do enjoy all the people making fun of Jeff Ross. I don't know why, but like it's like I never feel bad for Jeff Ross when they make fun of him, and I don't know why. Like a lot of people I'll feel bad for, I'm like, "Oh man, they're going too far." But with Jeff Ross, I'm like, "Nah, he signed up for this. He likes it."
Now, Vince, Dave actually prepared a roast of you. Would you like to hear
Yes.
it? It's in the voice of Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
I have to mention Gilbert Gottfried because he's like the godfather of like the early 2000s roasts, Gilbert Gottfried was just the best part of everyone. And I don't know, he was to me because he was just like a more old school comedian where you had all these young school, like these newer comedians, but he was the guy who like I think everybody had a great respect for. And like everything that Gilbert Gottfried did was just so funny.
You know what's so weird? And I just learned this maybe 2 years ago. That's not his voice. I honestly thought it was, but
It's his stage voice, yeah.
I heard him drop it, and I was like, no. I almost wanted it, his voice to be that. Like, yeah, like I can't even do it. Oh my God, I can't do
It's Larry the Cable Guy, same thing. Not as it's he's like a real dude. It's not he's
A
like
real
acting the whole time.
dude.
Yeah. He doesn't even like country music.
Shit, get her done. Wait a minute, what? Bobcat Goldthwait. That's also just an act.
Oh, really?
He doesn't actually talk like it. I can't. Oh, a little bobcat in my throat.
I don't. I feel like every time I've heard him, he's just his normal self. Huh.
Oh, okay. Here's the question: would you guys be like, it's the roast of Dave or the roast of John? Like, would you, do you guys think you have a tough skin, or would you just like, yeah.
Yeah, I think I could handle it.
I kind of feel like I could handle it just 'cause like I feel like I'm my own worst critic. Like nobody can hurt me the way that I hurt myself, so I'll do fine. Yeah, I'd be
Man.
curious like what, like the ones that hurt you the most would probably be the ones that are surprising. So maybe in reality I wouldn't be able to handle it 'cause the ones I wouldn't see coming are the worst.
And but then you get to, like you mentioned before, like they roast each other. That's the funnest part. And I guess the last person gets to go. But some of these hosts, like I don't want them to be in on the joke. Like Justin Bieber, apparently someone legit said that as the roast. They're like, Justin, I know you're doing this so that, like, you know, maybe you could be in on the joke, and that'll humanize you a little bit in front of everyone's, like, hey, I'm a good sport for taking all these insults. I hope this doesn't work, or something like that. Like, that was his roast. He's like, I think you're horrible, and I hope this doesn't work for you. That's great.
it's strange because it like that kind of art form of writing a joke like that, it kind of exposes like you as a comedian. So like you can expose yourself as being like a piece of shit. And like I will It's like, okay, because like if there's no funny part to it other than like you're just being an asshole, then it's like, okay, I kind of learned something about this person. So like it's a little revealing of the comedian who would say something like that, because you're like, because like a good it's like a it's an art form if you're really good at it. And there's certain people who get that, and then there's certain people who are just trying to insult, like with Bob Saget, where they're just talking about the Olsen twins and how Bob Saget is a pedophile. And if so many people make like a pedophile joke about Bob Saget, you would think as a stand-up comedian, if I had that joke, I'd probably cross it off and just go on to something else rather than just like hit the same note over and over.
For sure. I was thinking about watching the Bob Saget one because, like, he is a dirty comic. So I could only imagine what his last speech was going to be, just tearing everyone apart. But I don't know. I chose a best of video that they have on Paramount Plus. So was
It's
cool.
Bob Saget's good. John Stamos is there, and John Stamos is really funny too.
Oh my gosh. In that best of, it was Rob Lowe, right? And I recently said, like, oh, I love him because he was in Parks and Rec. All the jokes were basically calling him a pedophile. And like, after a while, I'm like, is that accurate? Like, why? They're really like laying it on thick. I know that Drew Barrymore had a story of like how he smacked her bottom when they first met, and she was like, I don't know, ET or something like that. So
Jeez.
maybe there's something to read into that, but after a
I'm
while,
gonna
I'm
have
like, what the
to
fuck?
consult Wikipedia.
Yeah, I don't know. After a while, I'm like, Jesus, is this true?
Oh, yes, it is.
No. Oh, God.
In 1988, this is from Wikipedia, Rob Lowe, who's 24 at the time, was involved in a sex scandal over a videotape with him having sex with two women. One was 22, the other was 16.
Oh.
This happened. Oh, jeez. Don't know. Sorry, Vince, you can't be a friend to Rob Lowe anymore.
She performed a spit roast on a girl. Oh, that's horrible. That's the original roast right there. Oh, God.
See, this is the problem with the internet is we have access to so much information. If like you can, not that everybody has done that, but there's so many people that we like, oh, we really like them because they're in a lot of movies, and then you hear like that they did something and you're like, oh shit. You're like, but I still really like Tom Hanks in that movie, even though he might be crazy and might have went to Epstein Island.
Oh God. Segway this topic is so old. Damn it, I don't know. I'm not a roaster,
Old
sorry.
is it? It's so old I wouldn't fuck it with B. Arthur's dick.
Yeah. All right. Oh, no, actually, I have to mention this. It's either Norm Macdonald, I think it is. He gets up to roast, and instead he just compliments everybody. And it just threw everybody off. Like everyone thought, like, okay, that's a funny bit, but he just did that the entire time.
That'd
I
be
think that's
fun.
genius.
Yeah, and I think the reason he did that is it probably pissed everyone off. They're like, damn it, don't do that.
Okay, let's go.
Is it me?
It could be me. Depends. What do you want?
I'll go.
All right.
I love photography. I love the outcome of having like a nice picture you can use as your wallpaper, get it printed out, hang it up on your wall, that kind of stuff. I'm fascinated by like the optics and like the mechanics of photography. So like if you have a like a manual camera where you're setting the aperture and the exposure time and all that kind of stuff, like just thinking about your light levels, what kind of lens you're using, getting all the settings to get the right look you want. Like do you want it to be do you want everything in the frame to be in focus, or do you want like very shallow field? So like you're taking a photo of a person, you want the person to be in focus and everything else to be kind of blurry. I find all that interesting and kind of fun to do. I used to like just kind of take a day and I'd walk around like a city or something and just, or in the woods or wherever, and just trying to get good photographs and try to notice stuff that you normally wouldn't notice if you were busier and just passing through. I almost was kind of going to be ambivalent to it, just in a small way that when I'm on vacation and stuff, I've started taking less photos just because I do want to be in the moment also. And like I can find when you're really thinking about just taking photos and stuff, you can kind of lose track of just being there and enjoying it. But I think overall, I've learned that there's like a time and a place for it. So I am present when I want to be, and I'm there for photography when I want to be. So I'll give it a love overall.
You know your stuff. Do you own cameras?
Not anything super expensive. I actually have like a hand-me-down camera that a friend gave me when he got a better one, and I bought some lenses for it. But yeah, I was starting to learn on like an amateur level, just kind of getting the feel for it. But I had never wanted to spend the big bucks for the expensive glass, as they call it, aka lenses.
Okay, cool. Like I had an ex who was into photography, and she even had a website of hers that she would post up on stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like I looked at the stuff. I'm like, oh, that's a cool shot. And I just never. I think she mentioned like, oh, well, this was with a something lens, and she mentioned lighting and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, I guess that makes sense. I've never really understood, the inner workings behind a photograph. I just thought like, oh, you took a picture of this thing. That's a cool looking thing. But like, I don't know how to do that though. Like if I'm walking around, like, is there a lesson to be given? Like, oh, make sure to look for a weird, interesting angle on something. Like, what would you throw out there, John?
Yeah, so there's like rules of thumb for composition. So one of the things they talk about is the rule of thirds. So imagine you whatever you're taking a picture of, you put like two lines vertically, two lines horizontally, so you're splitting the frame into thirds. You want the thing you're focusing on to be at the intersection of one of those lines. So you don't want to be the thing of focus shouldn't be in the middle of the photo. It should be on one of those edges, or one of those intersections.
Cool.
It also just made me think, did you watch that Spielberg movie, The Fablemans?
No.
At the end of the movie, a young Spielberg surrogate is meeting with John Ford, played by David Lynch, and he's like, look at these photographs or these paintings, and like, what do you notice about them? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like naming all this stuff that he notices about these photographs. And basically the moral of the story is like, notice the horizon is way at the top of this one. That's interesting. And this one, the horizon's way at the bottom. That's interesting. If the horizon's in the middle, it's boring as hell. Like, that was his whole lesson he was trying to impart on him. And like, apparently that stuck with him, and he used it like in his movies and stuff. But I'd imagine you're interested in, the motion pictures. Like, you've thought about, I imagine, framing and composition and lighting and all that stuff in that sense, right?
I guess I just didn't think of that. Like, well, first of all, with movies, you hire a cinematographer, someone to do the
True.
lights. So I don't get that when it comes to nature, is the thing. Well, what do you got to say, Dave?
I really like it. I appreciate it because I'm not very good at it, but I've dated a few people in my past who were into photography, and they had like a Canon camera with like a decent lens that was, pretty expensive, like $500 to $600. And like it's really interesting to me. Like I learned a few things, and it's kind of like you were saying, John, like with I do know, like I was taught something I don't totally remember, but it's like you have the background of the picture, what's in the very back, and then you have like the foreground of the picture, which is something close, and like you can focus in on the thing that's in the background or in maybe in the middle ground, I'm not sure what that's called, or the foreground. And it's like it's a lot of outdoor pictures where like if you're like out in Yellowstone National Park and you have mountains in the background, but then you have a barn and then you have like a fence in front of the barn. So then like you can have like the edge of the fence on like the perimeter of like the picture, where you can kind of, you sense that it's there, but it's not really in focus. More focus is like the barn, and then you can see like all the mountains behind it, and then it looks really beautiful. So yeah, like those little techniques, I don't really think about that stuff. Like if I'm usually I'm like taking pictures like of people, and it's just everyone just sit there, smile, and it's kind of boring. Like my favorite pictures of myself were like pictures that somebody took of me, but I wasn't looking at the camera. Like they had the camera, and it's like one of the coolest gifts you'll ever get is if somebody takes a picture of you, like, and you're just looking off this way or doing whatever, and you're ambivalent to the camera even being on you, and you're just kind of like looking off, and then it's because you have like the landscape behind you. That's really, you know, that's the star of the show is just like, you know, the what you're looking at. If it's like a lake or, you know, a forest or whatever. Like those are the best pictures I feel like is when I'm not looking at the camera. If I'm just like there and I'm in the middle of nature, you know, and you just see like the back of my head. Because
That's
this side isn't very
your best
photogenic.
side.
So yeah, exactly.
I had a friend, or have a friend, but she used to be a wedding photographer, and like, that's also where like you're in a wedding or at a wedding, and you know that there's someone taking pictures all the time, trying to capture this wonderful moment and stuff, and I can't remember what she said. I think she said it's like it's hard work because you have to take this picture at a certain time during the event. Everyone w wants that certain shot in every wedding, but so then you have to hustle to the other spot where like, oh, now you know I have to get shot of the hands or something, you know? It's like these beats you have to hit and you're timed, you know, like they're gonna happen and you have to document it in all the classic ways. So she was like, it's not as creative as I wanted it to be. And yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I really grew an appreciation for photographers at my wedding. The photographer I had was just phenomenal. She was amazing. She was so good at it. And like, I'm not photogenic in any way, but her ability to just know, she's done a million weddings and she's a pro, she's an expert, and she's strictly business. She's just like, she'll tell you everything you need to do. She's like, put your hand there. She's like, turn your foot in. She's like, put your chin down, shoulders back, move that left arm. And you're like, oh, okay. And like, it just, she would position you exactly how you need it to be for the best picture. Because otherwise, it's like, I got poor posture. I'm slouched. I'm kind of, my hips are twisted or whatever. But she would like, tell me exactly what I needed to do. And I was like, oh, okay, this is actually a good picture. But if it was just me just standing there, it would have been like, like, I don't know what to do with my hands. It's like, put one hand in your pocket, unbutton your coat, put the other hand right here behind her. And it's like, okay. And she was so detail oriented with everything she did. And it like really came through. And I looked at all the pictures. There's like 1,000 pictures. And I'm like, man, like all of these pictures are really good. Like, there's very few ones that are bad.
When I went to Japan with my buddy Drew, he would try and take pictures of me sometimes, and he'd be like, "You just like look awkward as hell." And I'm like, "I understand that, but unless you tell me what to do so I don't, it's not going to change." It's like I can try doing different things, and I can look different versions of awkward, but I'm not going to look natural.
That's so funny. There was an old photograph. I don't remember. Maybe it was your graduation or something like that. But like, you mentioned how like your arms look like this is the first time I've had these things. And I remember your arms were just out or something. It was always like, why are you doing that? That's great. So are you, will you eventually put more money into getting a better camera or a better lens?
I mean, yeah, like you can easily spend a couple thousand dollars on a lens,
Holy shit.
like even if you have like everything else. One thing I've wanted to get into and just haven't invested yet is a good macro lens, which is like you can take really close-up pictures of small things. So like bugs and mushrooms and seeds and like just tiny things, which I think would be fun and cool to get into. But those lenses tend to be quite expensive, so I haven't made the plunge.
Man, yeah, that's a interesting hobby. I think I'd have to get out more. Oh, I have a friend who takes photography and posts them on Facebook, and I always like them. They're almost always of Mother Nature, and every once in a while she'll post like a video of like the making of a picture, and I think it's her husband, and she's just recording her like getting out of her car. It's fucking dark and cold, really super early. She has to fucking crawl through this marsh and not to disturb the ducks and get a good duck shot, you know?
Oh yeah.
That's interesting to me. Like National Geographic sort of photographers and stuff. That's got to be way like a lot of work. A hell of a lot of work. Like I'm kind of confused. What's the market like? You know, like fucking Peter Parker. Like how much do they get paid for these certain shots? You know? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I guess like and just like bird photography seems to be like a whole like subgenre that people are really into. And like in some ways it's like stamp collecting that you just like, oh, I gotta get a photo of each type of bird in my area or whatever. But yeah, as far as like a monetary aspect, I would imagine most people would spend way more than they would ever make that as a hobby.
Quick,
Unless
name
you
a
get into the
famous.
commercial stuff like weddings and whatnot.
I was going to say, name a famous photographer. Is there? I can't. I'm blanking right now. Besides Peter Parker.
Ansel Adams, is that a person?
Really? Is that? I mean, would I know their shit?
Yeah, I'm sh checking if they're even, yeah, they are a photographer. I don't know. I don't know if any of their specific photos are like, oh, I know I've seen that photo.
National Geographic, it's a picture of that woman from Iran or something like that. Remember? She's like just staring at you at the camera, and then years later they're like, we caught up with her and she's old and stuff, and like she doesn't know she's famous from that picture, you know. It certainly
Oh
didn't affect her life at all. Like,
yeah.
thanks. All right, segue challenge. Ooh, do they still have red rooms to develop their pictures in? Because that always seemed to be appealing to me.
Oh yeah, I've never done much with actual film. Like I've only done digital photography pretty much,
Ah.
except for when like you'd have like the disposable cameras and you would just like blindly take photos and like weeks later go get them developed and none of them are good.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, you would get your films back, and there'd be like 24 films, and out of the 24, you were lucky if three of them were good pictures.
Yeah.
Oh well, snap. Let's go. Segue. Do something else. All right, I will go here. Let's see, what do I got? I have my love and my mystery. Let's do my mystery. I'm indifferent to bad grammar or grammar. I'm not really sure, because if
Or
you run
grandma.
into it and it's wrong, you're like, oh, are they dumb? But I feel like there's levels of like, oh, you just don't know that this comma goes there and shit like that. So I don't want to be too harsh, because I wanted to be a writer growing up, But I wanted to be a screenwriter, so I didn't give a shit about, the proper, like, where does this period go and shit like that. What? At the end at all times? Okay. Like, I just didn't care. So I do know that it's not perfect when I type some shit, but I try to be. Yeah, what do you guys have to say about grammar?
I think I know grammar pretty well, but I will often mess it up just by like a typo. You know what I mean? Like, I know for a fact which, there or there to use, but sometimes I'll just type the wrong one accidentally. And then you're like, oh, you don't know which there to use. Or like, I remember like one time at work, I don't even remember what the phrase was, but like I kind of changed what I was saying mid-sentence. Like I was going to say one thing and then I changed it. And they're like, oh, you don't say, I are, you say I am. Or you know what I mean? So, yes, I understand this basic grammar. I just changed the sentence I was saying.
So you don't judge when you see someone else
It
making
depends
mistakes.
on if it's someone trying to argue a point opposite of what I believe, I will fully use grammar as evidence that they're an idiot. But yeah, other than that, I give people the benefit of the doubt.
Like, if it's just like a text message, I'm pretty lenient, as long as I still understand what they're saying. But there are like certain people, like if you're reading something on the internet and I know you posted it with your phone, which has autocorrect, and every phone has autocorrect. So if you misspell something and it autocorrects it to a completely different word, you need to go back and retype it. But people are too lazy and they'll just have a random word in their sentence that doesn't make sense. And then you're like, huh, why does it have five? Why would it say, f oh, it's meant to say fight. Oh, okay. And it's like, if there's something fundamentally wrong with your sentence and it ha includes the wrong word, like that's over the line. Like, if you're using like, TO instead of TOO. Like, that's no big deal. Like, I don't care. Like, commas, punctuation. Commas are pretty subjective. Like, you can kind of, everyone has their own little rules that they play by. Some people love to use them, some people hate to use them. They're not for everyone. But like, I just can't stand like reading when someone just has like the wrong word that like auto-populated in, but they didn't read it before they sent it, or they reread it and they just chose whatever. They'll figure out what I mean. And it's like, I'm just staring at what you wrote and I have no idea what you're trying to say. And I'm so distracted by like the word that doesn't fit that whatever you were trying to say, like it's lost its meaning because I'm just focused on what makes no sense.
Yeah, I will often send stuff without reading it and then read it and be like, oh shit. And then, like, you do the thing. Like, if you're lucky, you're on a platform where you can just edit the message. But then, if you're not, then you send the correct word with like an asterisk next
Yeah,
to
put the little star there and
it.
be like, this is what I meant to say.
Okay, so I wasn't actually really sure if spelling and grammar are the same thing.
Yeah, they're related, but you could nitpick a difference between the two.
I think misspelling bothers me way more than grammar stuff. Because like I understand there's, what I don't. It's like, if that's an adjective, then that, I don't know. I can't even explain it right now, but I know it when it's off, or, I think it's the perfectionist in me, if there ever is one, where it's like, that seems off. I might not correct it, but I know it's not right. But when it comes to spelling and you're a girl that I like, I'm like, oh no, I mean, is this gonna work out at all? I mean, really, when a hot girl misspells, I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. Anything else about grammar? All right. Segway. Segway spelled S E. Wait, what? I don't even know what the Segway. Segway, right?
That the vehicle that
I
spell?
don't know. I have an idea. All right. Either way, it's off. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
I'm gonna go with my mystery topic. I experience this every once in a while. Well, like twice a week. I really hate people who drive around with really loud exhaust. There's a special kind of stupid people out there who love really loud exhaust on their vehicles. And I just assume that they're cavemen, that they don't speak in full sentences or have good grammar. They don't have good hygiene. They just like, oh, truck make loud noise, me like. And they're just idiots. They're like, it's the dudes in the big pickup trucks who have like the modified exhaust that's like super loud. And when they're just driving down through the neighborhood, they're as loud as possible. And it's like in my head, I'm like, yeah, it's like, I think it was like 7 o'clock on Saturday night and 7 o'clock on Sunday night. And in my head, I'm just like, yeah, I get it. You're pissed off that you have to drive to work right now because you work a third shift on a weekend. That's why you're driving really obnoxiously loud with like, because I know his truck was at home. This is like somebody lives down the street. Their truck was at home all day and they went nowhere. And then they left to go somewhere at the exact same not time, 2 nights in a row. I'm like, I know you're going to work. I know you're pissed off and you're just making it miserable for everyone. Where like I have to stop my conversation in my house because someone's driving down the street super loud. And then I can hear them get to the stop sign and then I can hear them accelerate past the stop sign. And they're just being loud just to be an inconsiderate asshole. If you want to like modify the exhaust on your sports car that's like a Mustang or a Corvette or something, that I wrap my head around because I'm like, yeah, okay, it's a performance car. You want it to sound cool because it's like a race car. But with a pickup truck, pickup trucks are meant for utilitarian work. It's supposed to towing capacity is what matters, or driving in the elements, or off road, or on the snow. That's what matters with a truck. Having loud exhaust does not affect a truck's performance in any way. And I have a truck and I drive it and it has a normal exhaust. It's just quiet to regular. It doesn't need to be souped up in any way. If I want to soup up my truck, I put big, meaty tires on it because that makes it perform better. All right. What do you guys, I mean, everybody hates loud exhaust, right?
Well, what sucks is that they're going to have that at an early age as soon as they can drive, and then they're going to slowly start to lose their hearing because of that. So then they're going to have to up it some more. You know, it's just never going to get any quieter for them. That's fucked up.
Like an addiction.
Yeah.
And like,
Shit.
I think they literally think that people think they're cool for having it. Like, wow, everyone is going to be so impressed by my loud vehicle. Like, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, I've talked to my friend Jonathan and I've voiced my same opinion and he's just like, "Well, if they want to have loud exhaust, they can have it. It's a free country." And I'm like, "I'm not debating that it's you're like it, you can do whatever you want. I mean, obviously there are laws against having overly loud exhaust and you can get ticketed for it. And if I was a cop, I would be writing those tickets all day long for loud exhaust because it annoys me.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, like, it's like they
It's like
don't
driving
fit.
past a murder to like write a loud
I'm
exhaust ticket.
sorry, I heard this car take off from that stop sign. It was super loud. I'll be back. Yeah, it's, I don't know. People who do it, they do seem to think it's cool, or that people are impressed by it, which is
Right.
bizarre.
Like I as a youngster would think that, oh, clearly passersby are impressed by whatever loud music I'm playing from my car, because they'll be impressed by how good my taste in music is and how loud it is.
Didn't we? Well, we kind of covered this, like just people that like being loud and stuff. There was a thing where a motorcycle was made, but it was too quiet. Like all these motorcyclists were like, "It's not the same. I need that Harley, you know,
Potato, 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 potato.
Parts of me like that loud exhaust, but it's just for too long. It won't go down. You know, it's what are we talking about here? But it's just super annoying. And yeah, I'm not part of it. Maybe there is a life path I could have taken where that was cool. Like I said, like they probably heard this shit so early. You know, like we grew up in Nilsville, John. And Dave, you grew up in fucking what, Osseo? Like these small little towns and trucks. Yeah, there was a lot of loud ass trucks. And that was just part of it. They're like, yeah, got my truck. And I'm like, yeah, I have this car that sounds just fine.
Then
Jesus.
they're like, see what I mean?
Slapping his knees.
I think when I was a kid and I heard the really loud trucks drive by, they were all because the muffler like rusted off and fell off. So it sounded super loud and it sounded like shit because the truck was a piece of shit. And I carry on that belief to this day. If your truck is really loud, it's a piece of shit. And it's like, why would you modify it to sound like shit?
Loud pipes save lives. I've seen that bumper sticker.
Oh my God.
Do you guys remember the whistle tips? That it was like an internet meme video. You need to check it out after this. Search for whistle tips with Bub Rub and Lil Sis. I don't remember what city it's in, but there it's a newscaster talking to these two random people about this phenomenon of people like putting these like welding, they're called whistle tips, to the end of their exhaust pipe. So not only is it like the loud exhaust, but it like whistles, like makes a high pitched noise. But the guy they get to talk about is hilarious. It's like whistle go woo woo. Like he loves them.
God. Segway challenge. I said Segway challenge. Right. John, go ahead.
I hate Judge Judy. When I just hate kind of those judge shows in general because they just seem so mean-spirited. They like bring on like two poor people to like make fun of them pretty much and like pit them against each other and just like share whatever is going on at their expense. And just, yeah, it just seems mean and not helpful, and I don't like that. And then like just Judge Judy, the way she deals with the people always irritates me. Like it's like, you know, like it's her show, so like she can do what she wants, so I'm not begrudging her that, but just her attitude, like she's always made up her mind from the start, and like she'll pretty much tell people to shut up when they're trying to explain their case. I'm like, no, you listen to me. And like, she'll like, and so like, it does not feel unbiased at all, which again, it's a television show. It's not a court of law. Like, it doesn't have to hold up to the standards, I realize. But I just, it's not for me to watch it. And then, I don't know, I've heard that like, for at least 1 year, maybe more, she was like the highest person paid person in television. But then, like, she'll have like petty disputes with the people who run her show, and like, I think the bailiff is no longer on her show anymore because he was asking for too much money and stuff, and like,
Holy
it's,
shit.
yeah. And then I think the way the show works, and this is again, this is fine, just a show, but it just makes it seem pointless, is that like, I think the plaintiff and defendant, like, I don't think they're actually end up paying each other at the end. I think it ends up being like whoever wins just gets like prize money from the show as if it were like a game show or something like that. So it's just like, it's fine, I guess, if you like that kind of entertainment, but it's just like a facade, and I don't like that kind of entertainment. So none of it is for me.
Yeah, for sure. Holy shit. When did you start watching this? Like, and then, you just decided, you're like, oh, this is horrible.
I never watched it on my own. Like, it's something like my parents will have on, like, and they'll watch it, and I was pretty indifferent to it while I was just like not paying a lot of attention. I'm I was kind of like, oh yeah, that's, these people are funny, or like, I can't believe they're saying this shit, or like, more as like, I think the show is intended. And then after a while, I'm just like, I feel like these people are being exploited, and just stopped liking it at some point.
It seemed very much like Jerry Springer, right? Like that sort of thing, because like the petty cases, it's just it gets too personal. It's like he owes me money, and he's like I can't do that. Like how much? They're like $600. I'm like $600. Like I don't know. It's I don't like looking into this troubled relationship. I don't like that at all. They're nervous to be in court, and it's made even worse because of how demanding she can be. She's like, look at me when I'm talking to you. And they're like, some people they think by looking off into a corner or something, like that's how
Oh
they're supposed
yeah.
to
That's how they
judge.
like process information.
Yeah, they're trying to
Yeah.
recall all this information as good as they can, but she's just like demanding, she's like, this is my show. It felt like Al Pacino there. She's like, this is my show. Like she was really just like really high strung, Her bailiff was cool because he would just laugh at the ridiculousness of it all. But she'd be
Yeah.
like, why are you laughing? Why are you doing that? Shit like that is like really And then you have sometimes they're cracking up and smiling while they're being paraded by her. And then some of the people in the crowd in the pews behind them are smiling. So you're like, what is serious? What is being real right now? So when you tell me that they don't even have to pay out that money, it's like, oh, okay, that explains the smiling. Like if I were to go there and know that I'm not gonna have to pay any money, it just depends on who she likes over the two of us. Sure, I'd crack a smile too, like, Judge, you're fucking wacky. Holy
Yeah.
shit. Yeah, what do you gotta say, Dave?
I have a more favorable opinion of the show, I think, than you two. I think it's okay. I think most of the judge shows are really bad. I feel like Judge Judy is the only one who actually has like the good enough personality to kind of make this show work. I do like how, and like, my understanding, and this might not be true because I really don't know what goes on behind the scenes or how it works, is that she gets the details of the case and all the documents beforehand, and she reviews it all, so she kind of knows what she's going to decide. So she, because it's like, they're like, oh, my boyfriend, he bought me a car, and then I crashed the car, and now he wants me to pay him back for the car, but I don't have the car anymore because it's totaled. It's like, who's gonna pay for the car? And like, Judge Judy, she like already knows like the specifics of that. She's just kind of like, all right, you're gonna tell your side of the story, you're gonna tell your side of the story, you're gonna include like 85% of the stories not even relevant to the case, and then I'm gonna cut you off. And then we're gonna go to like five commercial breaks, and like, the commercial breaks and her cutting people off, like, that stuff was always annoying to me, and I couldn't stand like the structure of the show, because right as it got interesting, then they just cut to commercial and it would like lose all its momentum. So like I didn't like the show, but I still kind of appreciated like people would be assholes and they were totally oblivious that they were in the wrong, and she's telling them they're wrong and they still don't believe it. Which, I mean, I guess, I probably wouldn't believe her either because it's a TV show. But it's kind of funny to watch certain people just kind of get like, they're kind of abusive towards like in their relationship with the person that they're suing, because it seemed like they were always like related and it was like ex-wife and that's your ex-husband, or that was like your son and that's your mom, and there's like all those family disputes and stuff like that. And it would always be interesting, when they're kind of people just kind of get their comeuppance. But I feel like the show gives me a dirty feel, kind of the same way it gives you, John. It gives me a kind of a dirty, icky feel. And I like remember watching this show like when I was like 19 or 20, and it was like I would stay up late and I would wake up at like noon or something or 11 in the morning, and that's just what was on TV, and I would watch it just because it was on. I wasn't ever watching it because it was good. Like there was always channel surfing involved, and I was like, there's got to be something else I can watch. And I was like, oh, it's like The Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, or Judge Judy. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm watching Judge Judy.
You mentioned she's good at this type of TV programming, because I've seen like Judge Mathis. Is that another show? I'm not really sure, but
That
there's
sounds
all
right.
these different shows, and to me it's always like, oh, you're trying to be Judge Judy. I don't know why. She's terrible, but like they just don't do it like Judge Judy does. Like I understand, like I said, like it's a performance. She's so charged up. It's very Al Pacino to me. Whereas everyone else is like, they try and come up with a funny quip or something like that. It's just not the same, but it's still trash TV. Like I was really annoyed when I had to do research today. I'm like, I don't want to watch Judge Judy. I feel like I've seen episodes before and I didn't care for them. And yeah, I hate
I
Judge
mean,
Judy.
I did not specifically watch it in preparation
Oh,
for this,
really? What?
but no, it came out
I
because
didn't either.
I was at my parents' house a few weeks ago and they had it on, so that's so I saw enough of it there to form my opinion again.
God damn it.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the pro wrestling aspect of it, where it's just like all performance and fake, and like, the people, like the money is not real, the circumstances are probably just made up. Like the people are probably know each other, are good friends, and they're like, let's just say this is the story, like people would do on Jerry Springer, where it's just like it's 100% just a made up story.
It
Yeah,
was
actually,
super.
I'd have less of a problem with it if that's the case. And but it's just like if these people have real disputes and they feel like this is their way to like get justice, I would feel worse about that.
But yeah,
Yeah, I feel like
again, go
I
ahead.
think like a lot of them were always like this one person was the tenant and the other person's the landlord. And
Yeah.
then, they moved out and they left this and they did this. And then, well, what does the lease say? And it was just like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't care. I don't like it. Just look at the lease. It says right there what you can do and what you can't do.
It was so bizarre. This one ended, but before it ended, she basically, Judge Judy basically suggested that he was on drugs, or like she's like, a person on speed wouldn't know that when you're in a court, the judge who's speaking means you don't speak, amphetamines, and like she kept on like suggesting that he was either on drugs or does drugs, and I would have been so fucking offended.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the ending, she's crying, he's pissed off, and they're doing their confessions, like right out of the courthouse. But like she's right behind him when he's like, "This is bullshit. She's such a bitch," and shit like that. And then it shows her saying like, "Oh God, I'm so glad this is over between us." And he's right there. So totally bizarre. I hate this shit, John. God damn.
Hey, me too.
Segway challenge.
Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Let's move on to the next topic. I
Is that her famous line or what?
think that's a famous line of hers.
Okay, well, for closies here, I'm gonna talk about my love. I love swearing. I don't know if anyone's picked up on that over the couple episodes, but
Golly, no.
you know what? I grew up with it in the house. My parents swore all the time, but they were always like, "Hey, you guys can't swear." And we're like, "All right, this is kind of weird, but okay, we won't swear."
This is
Even
kind of
though,
baloney.
and you know, they always said like, "Yeah, once you're whatever, then you could swear once you're grown up or whatever," right? So, my mom had this great line of expletives that she would say. She's like, "Ah, hell, fuck, shit, bitch, moan." And I love that because like it's all these swear words, and then it ends with moan. Like, what is
Oh,
that? Is that to soften the ending? Like,
that's
I always thought that was a clever little thing. So in the first either kindergarten or first grade, I met my friend Jeff, and why I really liked him is because he swore. Like, I think it must have been first grade on in the playground, and he would swear. I'm like, yeah. You know, like, because I still wouldn't swear. I think I might have said
Was
like,
it little kid swears or real
"Oh,
swears?
it was real fucking swears." Like he, like yeah, he was so foul mouthed, and I loved it so much. And so, but after that, you don't want to rely on it too much. You know, I feel like some people can do that. I personally feel like swear words can be used as like time savers, or not time savers, but like I'm trying to think of something, but I motherfucking can't. And you know, it just that motherfucking buys you just a little bit of thing to set up the rest of your sentence or whatever. So I love that stuff. But it was in my adult life, it wasn't until Nate Diaz defeated Conor McGregor, and they're like, "Oh my God, you blew the world away. What do you have to say?" And he's like, "Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers." And I was like, "What the fuck? Like, you just became like an instant star by defeating Conor McGregor, who's like this gigantic star." And he was just so foul-mouthed, and he was so like street thug-like, where usually I don't like that at all. I don't care for it, but his swearing, and especially his call out of Conor McGregor that they showed before the fight happened, I think is one of the most iconic call outs of all time. And it's just like, I'm comforted by it, you know. But the weirdest thing though, when people, complete strangers who don't know me, they try and swear around me as if to like relate, I don't like it. I actually like kind of put my guards up. I'm like, "Well, what is this? What are you doing?" Like, even though I do like swearing, it's when strangers try to reach across with swear words that's the problem. Isn't that weird?
What makes you think that that's what they're doing, other than it's just like, oh, maybe it's just natural for them
Because I
to
don't
just.
see them swear in front of other people. You know? Yeah. That's where I'm like, why am I the exception? I mean, deep down, I do love
I mean,
swearing, but
they were talking with their grandma, their mom didn't say a single swear word, and they talked to me, and all of a sudden
no,
it's like.
it's like other people like around my age and stuff, but it's just they just assume like that's what's going to relax me, and it actually does the opposite. It's very weird. But what do you guys have to say about swearing?
Are either of us going to make the easy jokes? I'm sometimes I think I should go for the clean cut, no cursing, but I'm not great at holding that together for too long, typically. Even like with work people, eventually I'll end up letting a couple foul words slip out here and there. Only where appropriate, of course. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think about it that much. Like in my industry, it's pretty normal for people to curse at work, so it's not unusual. It's even like if people are like giving like a presentation to customers or something, like then it's strange for it to happen, but like it can happen and it's not a huge thing really. I don't know. It's the whole concept is weird that like these words exist and then like we've decided they're not meant for use in certain places. And there's certain curse words which are only known by their first letters that I have no interest in using. And I understand why, like just the societal baggage behind them and whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna go there. But it is interesting, like the C word in particular, how it's like the C word here, but in like Australia and the UK, it's just like normal. Like you'd say it to your mom or whatever. Like it's not
Really?
a big
Oh.
deal. Yeah.
I mean, we still can, but they are not going to
Right.
respond the right way. I love you, cunt.
My wife, oh, she hates the C word. Anytime somebody says it, she absolutely hates it. But we were watching some British comedy, some movie, and they must have said it like 40 times in the entire movie. And she's like, "Huh, that's weird." She's like, "When they say it, it's different. It doesn't have that same bite to it." I'm like, "Yeah, if you say it like in a joking, it's all about context, you know? Because it's like you're saying,
Or
John."
context.
Oh, that's good. It's like w words are just noises we make with our mouth. So like it's not like you can't really get super offended by the word itself. It's all about the context in which you're using the word, the context, and then the tone of voice. 'Cause like you can say swear words and a lot of time they're funny and I like them and like they're great. But if you say it in a certain tone of voice and you direct it at me, well, then I'm gonna be mad about it and then I'm upset. Like to me, like I swear a lot at work. I swear around all of my friends. I will swear to like when I talk to my wife. But when I'm around friends,
Especially to my wife.
But like if I'm at church or I'm talking to family, I don't swear at all. And like I will never swear. And it's like I don't think about it. It's not even conscious. It's just being polite. To me, it's just like manners. Like I don't know, but it was like I kind of grew up where my parents didn't swear and I wasn't allowed to swear. But if you did swear, like your siblings would tell on you and get you in trouble. Like so and so said shit or the S word or something. And it's like such a stupid word. It just means poop, crap, shit. It's like whatever, who cares? Like it doesn't mean anything. I don't know. But like I really don't care if people swear. A lot of people swear to me, and I always find it super funny when they do, 'cause it means that they've let their guard down and they feel comfortable enough to do it around me. Like I'm not gonna like rat on them and like be like offended. They know that I'm not gonna get offended. And I'm like, okay, good. Like I like when people just are open in how they talk and they don't like try and censor themselves, because if they're censoring themselves, they're not being fully honest, you know?
John, you mentioned an F word. You were like, "Oh, that's a swear word, but I'll never say it." Are we talking like homosexual slur?
Wait, well, no, I don't think I mean, I don't say that word anymore, even though I used to. Because it's become, but no, I mean I meant the N word as like the main one that people would only say referred to by the letter. And
Oh,
the but yeah, the other F word, the non-fuck F word, like I feel like I don't have any reason to say that word anymore either. But those ones are interesting to me, especially like the N word, how like it's so uncomfortable to even say the word in a textbook, very scientific kind of way. Like I don't even feel like it's acceptable to do that. I have a friend who wrote a book about Prince, and he was recording the audiobook, and in it are quotes of like Prince or like other black people saying the N-word. And the question came up if when he records the audiobook, if he should say the full word out loud. And I think on the day of, they had him do it, and then they actually had him later go back and re-record it where he didn't actually say the word, and like that, so it didn't ha like, because he is not a black person, and they just were like, okay, we don't even want you saying that word in a perfectly acceptable context. So like that's how powerful that word is now, you know?
I was really kind of thrown off by that because to me, there's a difference between swear words and slurs. You know, like I never thought of the N word when I talk about swearing or the F word. You know, to me that's different. You know, I'll say fuck all the time, but I would never say that out of the word. Maybe I have in the past, you know, with much glee or something. I don't know, but like I doubt it. But like.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure in high school, like that was a word that was just thrown around like nothing.
And there's but really, like I don't consider like say the R word, that's a slur, or wait, no. Well, people don't like to hear that, right? But I would never consider that to be a swear word. Same thing with the F word and the N word. Like I don't know, I've never considered them swear words. Those are words that I don't say because yeah, I think those are slurs. Dave, do you think there's
Yeah,
a difference
I think
or?
that's a fair distinction,
Okay.
slurs
I think
versus swear
there's
words.
definitely a difference. There's only one like swear that I really dislike, and I don't know if you think it's a swear or a slur. But it's when people
Oh,
it's
gosh.
when people take the Lord's name in vain and they say,
Oh.
"Gee, damn it." I really don't like it when people say that. Is that a slur or a swear word? Or kind of both.
Taking
No.
oaths, like growing up Christian, like I always thought of that as being like the real swearing, and words like shit and fuck were they're just words that people say. But yeah,
Wow.
like taking the Lord's name in vain was more serious of an offense than just saying like poop and sex words.
That's so funny because I will actually take it back if I ever say gut, if I ever say that, right? I will correct myself. Even if I'm just in the car by myself, I'm like, gosh darn it. Isn't that weird? Like, and I'm not even like, I don't, you know, I'm barely religious from, you know, my own tribe and stuff. And I was technically baptized in another religion, whatever that is. But for some reason, I'm like, oh, it's a little too harsh. That G word. Yeah, it's so bizarre. I don't know what
And
that is.
it's weird because like I don't ever say that on purpose, but if I drop something on my foot or I slam my finger in something, I will it's immediately like what I'll yell it out and I'll be like, I apologize, Lord, I apologize. Like, what is wrong with me? It's like there's something, it's like buried in me where like sometimes it just wants to escape, and then I'm like, oh, I couldn't control myself.
I
Oh
have
man, and
been,
for
oh.
comedic effect, it's tough too, because like Bob Odenkirk saying that is just hilarious. Like when he, the way he'll deploy that when he's mad about something in a sketch.
Wow,
I
they
was
say
gonna
that a
say,
lot in Sunny, don't they, Dave? Like,
yeah.
that's like their
Yeah, oh yeah.
go-to. Yeah.
Dennis says it a lot and it's not very funny. I don't think it's funny, but like if Cartman says it from South Park, it's hilarious. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Is it his voice that makes it easier? Like,
I think so.
no kidding.
Yeah, and then just saying Kenny afterwards.
Oh man. You know what? I feel like we learned a lot today about ourselves and stuff. Oh wait, let me include this though. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he swore in something and I'm like, I don't believe you. That's, that's not you. Stop pretending. Like you're such a horrible actor. Anyways, Rock, but I don't believe you when you swear. There are just some people that, and I think that's what it is. Like when strangers try and relate to me, I'm thinking of like, I had to go see a psychiatrist once. It was such bullshit, but like I had to go there.
Court ordered?
No,
Okay. Judge Judy
no.
ordered?
Yeah. Double bullshit to have to do this. But he was just like, whatever he said, it was just so lame. I was like, I don't believe this. I think that's the distinction. When people try and relate to me, it just doesn't seem like it's real. Like they're, yeah, I just don't trust it. It's weird. And then,
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
well, I was gonna say, like the believability when someone says a curse word. Nobody curses better than Billy Bob Thornton. Watching like Bad Santa,
Oh yeah.
or he's got a new show called Landman, where he's like an oil guy who's like it's basically like There Will Be Blood with
Oh.
what's his name? That famous actor.
Yeah, Lewis Daniel Day.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah, except for it's just like a modern day version of that, but it's Billy Bob Thornton, and he just says all the curse words all the time, and he's just every sentence he's cursing, but it's just how he talks. It's just like an accent or something for someone else, for Billy Bob Thornton to curse. It just makes sense. And like it's super entertaining and he can say it and I enjoy watching him in everything.
Yeah, and Bad Santa is so great. He's just like so exasperated from that kid just asking him a million questions. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, what do they do with the fucking sandwiches all the time?
And that's why Landman is great because he's just playing that same character who just cusses all the time, drinks a lot, but now he's got a job and he's got to go to work and he's just pissed off at everybody.
We talked about Tenacious D. Like out of the rock bands, like they by far swear the most, and I love them for that as well. Even if they shake it up, like cock-ass, that's brilliant to me. Love that. Hunter S. Thompson. I love. I didn't read the whole book, but I read a lot of Fear and Loathing. It was like, what the fuck? I love. Hurry, we're gonna be killed for fuck's sakes. I love all that. All right. Is that the show? I think it is. Like, subscribe, fucking comment. I was fucking Vincent Cloud. Oh wait, go to a few fucking goldielockbears.com.
I don't. All right, let's go register that domain quick. I was heckin' John heckin' Nemitz. Like and subscribe and rate and review.
You guys could fudge off. My name is Dave, and I'm sick of this sugar.